Inside Red Bull Bora Hans Grohe, the podcast from OVBier Online on the Tour de France. For 3 weeks, we accompany team manager Ralf Denk and the biggest and most successful German cycling team through the Tour de France. Do you have questions for Ralf Denk? Send them to tobias.rufer@obeimedia.de. And now, enjoy the new episode. Søren Varenskild wins the 11th stage of the Tour de France. There are no changes in the general classification. Let us dive into today's Tour Day with the team manager of Red Bull Bora, Hans Grohe. Hello to Franz, to Ralf Denk.
Hello and good evening to Rosenheim.
Yes, Ralf, let's look at today's stage. Basically, had we, or rather had you, expected the race to unfold this way? The sprint and the final result were wild, though, or how do you see it?
Yes, well, the way it went, yes, that was how I expected it. There wasn't much resistance until the group was formed. It took a few kilometers, but then the group was set. What surprised me was that in the finale, Alaphilippe let go very early.
He is a normal steady pace rider. After all, he was world champion twice, but he could no longer follow the group. And the finale wasn't like usual, where the teams line up and do a sort of drag race, team against team against team. But they only really formed up 1.8 kilometers from the finish. And for me, that's an indicator that everyone is already dead tired. Normally, teams form up 10, 15, 20 kilometers before the finish to prepare, and it is a tough battle for position, and they fight, and it costs the helpers an enormous amount of energy. We didn't see that today. For me, a huge indicator that everyone is already pretty exhausted, whether it's the domestiques or the leaders. We've had a very, very hard Tour de France so far. And that's why there are somewhat strange finale, as you said, with a winner who had a lot of courage to just go for it.
He found the gap. It was a small gap, but he found it.
Well, then he went off relatively early and managed to hold his lead to the finish. But it must also be said that Søren Varenskjold from the Norwegian team Uno X is no stranger. He has already won the great cycling classic Omloop Het Nieuwsblad in a similar manner. He is a very strong rider, a rider with great pace, not the fastest in a sprint, but that was not required in this case. Instead, he was able to maintain a high pace for several hundred meters for a longer time and therefore won it deservedly.
Did the sprint teams lack consistency?
I think in the manpower. In terms of manpower, and perhaps also that is a conclusion, if you do not have the manpower, you cannot ride consistently. And I suspect rather that everyone said, let us reach the finish. Very strange to me. He has also won stages here before. Fernando Gaviria from the Spanish team Caja Rural, he had a flat tire a few kilometers before the finish. He came back relatively easily. At a normal pace, he would never have made it back. And that was also an indicator for me that up until 2 kilometers from the finish, the pace was comparatively slow compared to other sprint stages.
Varenskjold crashed yesterday, finished in last place. Thorsten Train was already in the yellow jersey. Now the team takes the stage win. They have received a great deal of attention due to the hotel situation. Uno X Mobility from Norway is writing these special stories at this Tour de France.
Definitely, and I like their approach. First of all, they focus on Norwegian and Danish riders. We have mentioned that here before. They are obviously limiting themselves enormously, but they are still creating success.
They have a great partner in Uno X from Scandinavia, and they do things very, very consistently.
They are also considered training animals to some extent. So 4, 5, 6 hour indoor sessions in winter are no problem for them. Also rides at well below below zero or below freezing are no problem for the guys. They are real outdoorsmen, and that is how they come across. They don't have anyone who can fight for the tour podium on Koman. They were still sixth in the overall standings last year. Quite acceptable and good, but they also focus on stages and they wore the yellow jersey for a day. They have now won a stage and they are in their first year on the world tour. They were promoted last year and I am happy for them. And I also know the manager, Thor Hushovd, quite well. And he is also new to this. It is his first team that he is managing. He was a successful racer himself in the past, even a world champion. And from that perspective, it is a cool project and I am happy for the guys.
And anyone who still remembers Thor Hushovd will have had their heart truly warmed today. He must have enjoyed that. Let's move on to Red Bull Bora Hansgrohe. I saw a brief mechanical issue for Jan Tratnik. He immediately gave a thumbs up and everything went like clockwork after that. They all got through it well, didn't they?
Yes, everyone is safe at the finish. I also get, once the stage has started, another medical update. Everything looked very, very good this morning after yesterday's tough stage. All the indicators are in the green. That means our medical team has done a fantastic job so far and can confirm that everyone is feeling well.
There were quite a few mechanicals today. Coincidence, or are there sometimes stages or road conditions where it just happens more often? What is your impression?
Yes, that definitely exists. Well, the tire topic is actually worth a whole series. You can talk so much about tires and how much has changed in recent years. Most teams use tubeless tires, which are filled with a sealant. And the tire construction is always a balancing act. The less rolling resistance, the less puncture protection. And the teams naturally push to the limit, especially on stages where a flat is not that critical because you usually recover well if you do have a tire issue. Yes, and for the teams, it is always a game of fire depending on which supplier you have. We use specialized tires, but we have different versions. So we have very fast ones with relatively little puncture protection, but we also have some that have a bit more puncture protection. And so it is always a bit of a game for the technicians.
Do you use stages like today's a bit as a test balloon under extreme conditions? We are talking about the Tour de France. Well, in training, you can simulate things, but at a Tour de France, for me, when you say you're testing, these are extreme conditions where you, well, you leave yourself a safety net because it's not a stage for you, for example, where everything is at stake.
No, we are still talking about the Tour de France here, and the Tour de France is no place for experiments. We do a great many tire tests, and our junior teams often get the prototypes first. They then test them in a racing environment as well. It is also to some extent our strategy that new equipment is often tested by the under 19, the under 23, and our rookies. And only when it has truly been approved does it go to the pros. And we do not experiment at the Tour de France.
With a good 7 kilometers to go, we saw your team quite bunched up at the very front. Was there a specific reason for that?
Yes, well, you're not really in the safety zone yet, let's say 7 kilometers from the finish. So you still have to concentrate and focus even more. And only when you reach the safety zone 5 kilometers from the finish, then if something happens, you get the same time as the winner. And that's why we got even more organized.
Okay, I'm sending podcast greetings over to the Velo Club from Eurosport now. The question came up. You told us about this gentleman's agreement, the GC, meaning the team's riding for the general classification, and that Pogacar personally said, as you reported to us, that these teams hold back. From what point does this gentleman's agreement, as you called it, apply?
Yes, you shouldn't overrate that in modern cycling anymore. Yes, in the past, when the really big protagonists, Eddie Merckx or Lance Armstrong, said something, it carried more weight than it does in modern cycling today. But still, I find that the teams fighting for the podium here don't really try to outdo each other in the sprint finishes. And I'm knocking on wood now. None of the general classification riders have really crashed or gotten hurt in the sprint finish yet. And the way it's going right now, I think it's quite good. How much the riders talk to each other is secondary to me. It has to be in a good balance, racing on one hand, but not risking the entire Tour de France on a day like today.
But does Pogacar have to go there every day to renew it, or is it a fixed agreement?
We from sports management or team management don't even want to know the details. Let the guys settle it on the road, and the guys are good to each other. Most of them, there's good harmony in the group, and they should handle it themselves. We don't want to influence that from the outside.
Exactly, that is what Pogacar says internally. But he made a statement to the public, which leads us seamlessly into the background, yes, one that really drew attention. Namely, if I had the power, I would completely change the race calendar and no longer race in hot regions during July and August. So the statement stands, and it is not coming from just anyone.
It comes from the boss, from the master himself. What is your take on that?
First of all, I think it's good that such an iconic athlete dares to speak out. That I'm open to that and have also fought for change is something people know if they've heard or read my interviews during the Corona period. I also fought hard for the Tour de France to be in August and for the Tour of Spain to even take place in November, because we couldn't really race at the start of the season due to lockdowns. And indeed, one can discuss finding better harmony with the climate. What is set for me are the spring classics. Flanders, Roubaix, Liège. That is a block, Milan-San Remo too, which I believe should not be torn apart. And they are not called spring classics for nothing. What one could perhaps discuss is moving the Vuelta from August back, and I say back deliberately, to April or the end of April. Back in the 80s, in the 90s, definitely, the Vuelta took place in April. I still remember that from when I was a little boy. Then I find it quite exciting in other sports, and moving over to Formula One, that they have a summer break. They have a summer break of 2 or 3 weeks where there is no Grand Prix, and where the staff also have time off. That means the Formula One team factories are also largely closed during that time, simply to give all the staff summer holidays. Our staff has no way of taking a vacation during the season. They always have to go on vacation in the shitty months of November or December. December is okay again, or it gets difficult again because there is a training camp November, and November is not exactly the big fancy month for a vacation. I would wish that one could give the whole teams perhaps a summer break and perhaps then race longer towards the end. Well, I think it's good that Tadej Pogacar is making such a push there. I would also come to the table as a team representative to discuss it. There are certainly exciting ideas, but a few things are untouchable for me, like the spring classics. But we also have the Olympics every 4 years. And the next Olympics are on July 22nd, 2028 in Los Angeles, which is actually during the Tour de France. And the ASO is already fighting to move the Tour de France forward so that it doesn't conflict with the Olympics. And that naturally affects all other race organizers massively. The ASO always wants to have the priority deciding first when their big races take place. And that is, of course, not the proper way to do things. It really should be done together. And that is the general difficulty in cycling, that there is very, very little common ground.
So, a Tour de France that starts in mid to late August, Agatha, is quite conceivable from your point of view.
For my part, that is conceivable if the riders feel more comfortable and there is less heat. Why not? I would not like to ride Paris-Roubaix in August, because for me it is an early classic, it is set, it belongs in April. But the Tour de France would make no difference to us, whether it is in July or in August.
Well, a Soccer World Cup now lasts 6 or 7 weeks and is very well received. I mean, there was a lot of talk beforehand, oh, far too much, nobody will watch it anymore and nobody will go to the stadiums. Yes, and what happens? People watch it. I'm not talking about the surrounding circumstances now, but when it comes to the sport, they are totally thrilled by this World Cup. So I think it is more about, this is how we have always done it. You are from Bavaria. I live in Bavaria. That is just a standard thing here. That is how we have always done it. That is how we will keep doing it. Sometimes I think you have to break up structures and simply adapt to circumstances.
Absolutely, because the behavior of the consumer or fan who we ultimately live off of is also changing. And you have to be open to change. I think it is very, very important to generally be open to change. And people also thought if I switch back to Formula One now, that it was the gold standard when Bernie Ecclestone managed Formula One. But when Bernie Ecclestone was gone and Liberty took over, then there was another real change and real growth in Formula One. This example also shows that if you are open to change, you can definitely still grow.
Exactly. I also know that you have many ideas for cycling to become even bigger. We will gladly take that into the next few days. On this topic now, the heat wave and how one can change or adapt things, there was also a suggestion to set the start times earlier. Honestly, maybe I can give my opinion first. What good does that do? Then you start at 10, you're still riding right into the full midday heat and the blazing sun. And you also have to think about the consumers. People are working after all. I mean, leaving work a bit early at 3 o'clock to catch the end of the tour, I can see that happening. But if the stage were to end at 3 o'clock, my feeling is that the numbers would really drop. How do you feel about that?
Back in the day is also a no-go for me. I completely agree with you because we have more or less start times here, depending on the length of the stage, between 11:30 and 1:30 or 2 o'clock today. So those are normally the classic start times for the stage. And if you move that forward by 4 hours, then you'll be at the finish 4 hours earlier. That means the finish isn't around 5 o'clock, but the finish is then already in the early afternoon. And first of all, it is even hotter here at 5 or 5:30 at the finish line. And secondly, normal people are at work. So that is not a good idea to me. Where I would be open to discussing is why not move the start even later? I know now if I were to suggest that to my team, there would be huge outcry at first. Then we would be having dinner even later. I mean, dinner for the staff here is always between 10:30 and 11 o'clock at night. When would we eat even later? Then we would be having a midnight snack at 1 or 2 in the morning after the work is done. But for a fan, I'm thinking about the fan now. If the finish line, and that is possible in summer, is only at 9 o'clock in the evening, I could imagine that it might even be quite cool to ride until just before dark, because then people have time, they can turn on the television, and you can follow the race on social media channels.
Well, I would at least like to discuss that suggestion.
Yes, we were discussing those sprint stages, which are relatively short in terms of length. I mean, a mountain stage, you can't just set up floodlights everywhere in the high mountains. I think we agree on that. But now with this tour, for example, the team time trial in Barcelona, the first stage, Paris is also relatively late.
perhaps that would even be an idea for the sprint stages to sort of do as you're suggesting now, that we say we start later and have a Tour de France sprint at a great prime time at 7 o'clock in the evening.
Yes, but if France is further west, it stays light a bit longer there than in Rosenheim, so I don't even need floodlights right now. I mean, when I'm on the Atlantic coast, it's light until almost 11 p.m., so I could easily race bikes until 9:30 p.m. In the summer, and maybe that's the ideal way. It's definitely cooler then.
Okay, good. We will, of course, keep an eye on that. Now let's look at current events, which take place tomorrow, Thursday. It starts at 1:30. The expected arrival is 5:30. From the Circuit Manicou back to motorsport, we head to Chalon-sur-Saône. 180 kilometers will be raced with 3 Category 4 climbs. It is a bit hillier than today. You like to give us a percentage estimate regarding a bunch sprint versus a breakaway group. What percentages have you brought for us today?
Yes, it is a bit hillier. 3 mountain classifications, 4th category, but I flipped through the road book earlier and there are not that many sprint chances left. And I think tomorrow could perhaps even be one of the last limiting ones. And that is why I believe the fast guys or the teams of the fast guys, I am thinking of Sudal Quickstep, I am thinking of Decathlon with Olaf Kühl, I am also thinking of Astana with Max Kanter, who is sprinting quite well here, which pleases me from a German perspective. I believe that there will be another sprint tomorrow, and I am certain it is more than 90% likely.
And with that tactical, and with that tactical as before on all sprint stages, that the approach for you?
Yes, so we want to save some energy again before we slowly start heading into the Vosges, because the Saturday stage in the Vosges in particular will be brutally hard. That is on the same route where Udo Bultz said to Jan Ullrich in 97, torture yourself, you pig.
That is more or less the same course, and it will be really tough on Saturday. That is why we have no problem if it is a bit calmer again tomorrow, so we can catch our breath.
Exactly. Speaking of torture yourself, you pig, my colleague Corbinian Soter, he is taking over for the next 4 days. That is certainly no torture. Corbinian has qualified for the Ironman in Hawaii. Only very, very few people manage that. So Ralph, when it comes to the topic of heat and how to deal with it, you two can really toss the ball back and forth. We will both talk again next week. I say thank you for today. You will, of course, be back tomorrow. Then with our Ironman Corbinian, I say thank you. Best regards to France and see you next week.
Very nice. I am looking forward to the Ironman. Well, he is already an Ironman. Once you qualify, I believe you have to finish one. I am not that familiar with the sport, but I assume so, and I look forward to our conversation in the morning.
That was the latest edition of Inside Red Bull Bora Hansgrohe, the podcast from OVB Online on the Tour de France. You can find the podcast on all common podcatchers and on the websites of OVB Media and iPen Media. Thanks for listening and see you in the next episode.